Our message today is going to be a very special message. The pastor who is in Mariposa today preaching has asked three people from our congregation, and we have three generations who will be represented, who will be speaking today. And we will be starting with the youngest, and so at this time, Haley Locken will come forth.
Temptation. We all go through it at least once a day. If it's during school, during work, or even during our normal everyday lives. At home. First, I'm going to talk about temptation in school. Usually, kids get tempted to cheat on tests in school, but when you get higher up, like in junior high and high school, kids get tempted to do much worse things than cheat on tests. Can anyone guess what that is? Drugs. Believe it or not, kids are starting to even do drugs in junior high. Most kids, when they get asked the question, "Are you going to do drugs when you get older?" say, "No, not at all. Drugs are horrible." But when they get to high school or junior high, they'll notice that most people at their school are doing drugs. So they get the thought in their head that in order to fit in at school, they'll have to get on drugs also. That thought in their head is really just temptation. Temptation to do drugs and temptation to really just kill their body and ruin their life. Even though they know drugs can kill their life, they let the temptation control their mind and start doing drugs. Their everyday routine changes rapidly. They push God out of their life and stop coming to church. Then their parents get so mad at them for everything they've done, and they kick them out. Finally, when they're out on the streets, cold, hungry, tired, and out of drugs, they decide to use their last option, God. They sit down and pray for the first time since they started drugs, and they go back to the day where they made the mistake of saying yes and realize that ruined their life. Was temptation, one of the devil's tools, that seems so small but yet so big at the same time. If you do manage to make it through school without being tempted, then you controlled your temptation. But then comes temptation at work. I don't know many of the temptations from work because obviously I can't get a job yet. But I have a few. For example, let's say Monica works at McDonald's. She just got the job and she has a shift from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, she's a very good worker, always listens to the boss, and she got this job because she's saving up for a new car. And so she goes to work, works really hard, and when it comes time for the end of her shift, the boss stops her at the door and asks her if she can fill in for Annalise because she's going to Hawaii for a week and needs someone to fill in for her. Emily, the boss, says you would only be working one extra day, which is Saturday. You would get paid extra also. Monica stops to think for a minute. The boss said that she would get paid more money. Remember, she's saving up for a car. So Monica can either go against her religion and work on the Sabbath, or she can follow her religion and say no. What do you think Monica does? She controls the temptation in her head and says, "No, I'm sorry, but I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and the seventh day, which is Saturday, is the day of rest. So I'm sorry, but I can't work on that day." Before the boss could say anything, Monica walked out the door proud that she didn't let temptation control her mind. Now, you could be like the girl on drugs and let the temptation tear you away from God and the Sabbath, or you could be like Monica and overcome temptation. Stay with God every day of your life and put Him first in your everyday decisions. You are the only one that can control your temptation. You are the one that can fight against the devil and his tool of temptation. And you are the one that can let God come into your life and overcome the temptation, defeat one of the devil's tools, and get one step closer to God. Can you please open your Bibles to Proverbs 1, 8 through 19? Can I hear an amen when you find the scripture? Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole. Like those who go down to the pit, we will get all the sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder, threw in your lot with us, and we will share a common pursuit. My son, do not go along with them, do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay on only themselves. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. You know, when I listen to these kids up here, it seems like it's really easy for them, you know. But now that I'm here, it's not that easy. Yeah. Well, today, as you all know, I'm going to talk about temptation a little bit. And I'm going to share a little bit of my own experience. The Bible teaches that we are all tempted to sin, and no one is immune from temptation. In 1986, Gordon MacDonald, who at that time was the president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, was asked the question, if Satan were to blow you out of the water, how do you think he would do it? Mr. MacDonald said, I'm not sure I know. He has all sorts of ways to do it. But I know there is one way he wouldn't get me. He would never get me in the area of my personal relationships with my family. That's one place where I have no doubt I'm strong as you can get. Well, within 2 years of making that statement, do you know what happened to him? This respectable and admirable Christian leader was a broken man. He had committed adultery against his wife and nearly lost everything he had. Satan is out to get us. He doesn't care about our how spiritual we are or how secure we are in our Christian homes. He's going to tempt us to sin, hoping to lead us away from God and lead us away from our families. And this is what I think. The closer we are to God, the harder Satan is going to work to lead us away from God and to lead us away from our families. Now, to resist temptation, we must understand what temptation is. So if you please open your Bibles to James 1:12. Through 15th. James 1, 12 through 15th. Happy are those who remain faithful under trials, because when they succeed in passing such a test, They will receive as their reward the life which God has promised to those who love him. If we are tempted by such trials, we must not say, "This temptation comes from God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But we are tempted when we are drawn away and trapped by our own evil desires. Then our evil desires conceive and give birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. So these verses teach several things about temptation. The first one is that God does not tempt us to sin. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, explains that God provides us with a way out of temptation. And I'm going to read it, like go through it really fast. And it says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So God, believe it or not, and this is really hard for me to understand, God allows us to be tempted in order to refine our faith and to help us grow in our dependence upon him. And second, temptation on itself is not sin. Jesus was tempted. However, he was without sin. Temptation only becomes sin when we give into the temptation. Now, what does temptation mean? So for me, temptation is such a subjective term because it's different for everyone. Like, for example, for a student, there might be a temptation to sleep in a little bit longer, even though the alarm went off and he had a class this morning. For some of us, like me, it's chocolate and Coca-Cola. For others, it might be like overspent in electronic devices or clothing. You know, we all have different temptations. So I went to the dictionary to look for the definition of temptation, and this is what I found. Temptation is the desire to perform an action that one may enjoy immediately or in the short term, but will probably later regret for various reasons, legal, social, psychological, including feeling guilt, health-related, economic, etc. It's also lack of self-control. In the context of religion, temptation is the inclination to sin. So with this definition in mind, I divided temptation in three steps because I think temptation is a process. Number one, temptation starts with a harmless thought or desire that entices us to do something that we're not supposed to do, like cheating on a test. And you can, you know, put there whatever your temptation is. And number two, the initial thought is then entertained and explored. I might get an A if I cheat on the test. And that would help tremendously with my grade. So by doing this, we contemplate committing the sin. And then, after entertaining the thought, we commit the act of sin to fulfill our cravings and desires. After we commit sin, Satan wants us to feel so guilty that we withdraw ourselves from God. And when that happens, when we withdraw ourselves from God, it will produce spiritual death, the type of spiritual death James talked about. So we must say no to temptation. We must say no to sin. And how do we do it? If you open your Bibles to Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Ephesians 6, 2, 6, 10 to 13. It reads, "Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you, so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks. And after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground." Now I'm going to tell you a little bit of my story. You know that this year has been really hard for me and my family. Having my husband apart from us was really, really hard. And on one hand, you know, Elvio is not only my husband, he's my best friend. He is my other half. He's my everything. But believe it or not, you know, this drew me closer to God. And I pray to seek him more in everything I do. And so this time I told God I want to do something different. You know, and I do pray more. I do study the Bible more. But I said, I'm going to do something different. And for me, I have a lot of temptations, but the biggest one is dark chocolate and a cold glass of Coca-Cola. And then if I mix that, like if I combine that together, I can sit down and, you know, eat chocolate and Coca-Cola all the time. And so I said to God, please help me, and I'm going to fast because I have a lot to pray for and a lot of decisions to make. And so I started 55 days ago, I started to fast on chocolate and Coca-Cola, and I haven't had any so far. And I'm so happy for that, because when I eat chocolate, I get really, really bad headaches, and I still eat chocolate. So this reminds me that at all the times that if we ask God for help, he will be there for us no matter what. That doesn't mean that by praying and fasting, I will have it my own way. You know, sometimes that's what I want, but it's not going to happen that way. It means that I will be closer to him, that I will be able to listen to him in a better way, and I will be able to accept whatever he has for me and my family. But what's more important, and I'm still working really hard on this, it's to pray for his will to be done. Sometimes it's really easy to say it, but to really understand what he wants from us is really different. And I strongly believe that if we surrender to an awesome God, we will be able to overcome not only temptation, but everything in our path. Philippians 4:13 reads, "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." Thank you.
Temptation. What is temptation? The dictionary describes it as something that entices or allures. Enticement is being led on by exciting hope or desire. Allurement is to attract or tempt by something flattering or desirable. Satan, known also as the serpent, is the tempter. He came to our first parents in the Garden of Eden and tempted Eve by saying to her, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Eve replied, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent replied, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it, and also gave some to Adam, her husband, and he ate it. This was the first temptation since the creation of our world and the resulting fall into sin. Eve was led by Satan's temptation of enticement by exciting desire, and also tempting by allurement, by words of flattery. Satan's effort is to cause us to fall into his temptations. The Bible tells us to resist him and stand firm in the faith. We are also told in Revelation 12:12 that Satan is filled with fury because he knows his time is short. Our God, who loves us so much, has given to us, his children, many words of hope and encouragement. Jesus tells us in John 16, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Hebrews 4:15 states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Ephesians 6:11 tells us to put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. What is armor? It is defined as a covering worn as a defense against weapons. The weapons of Satan are temptations of evil things we are not to be involved in. If we are to put on the armor of God, what is this armor? The belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit. How do we get this armor of God? By spending time with God every day in prayer and Bible study. Matthew 26:41 admonishes us to watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. In Ephesians 4:27, it tells us, "Do not give the devil a foothold. Keep your armor of God strong." We are told in the book of James to submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Holy Spirit describes our condition in such words as these: dead in trespasses and sins. We are held fast in the snare of Satan, taken captive by him at his will. A snare, as we know, is something that is hidden or camouflaged to appear safe, while danger lies beneath the surface. This is the work of Satan, to trap us and cause us to fall into something that is wrongful by making it appear safe. Proverbs 16:33 gives us this assurance: the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. The Ten Commandments are given us as a guide for our lives. None of us would even consider robbing a bank or shooting someone. Those sins we don't struggle against. But what about the hidden sins that no one sees? Sins of the heart. To name a few: jealousy, temper, selfishness, fault-finding, gossip, pride. These are sins, as Paul puts it, that so easily besets me. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. But we have an assurance in Psalms 121, verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And also in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Many of you know that I had an amputation of my right leg in December 2009. This required attending a wound clinic for 3 months because the incision was not healing. Following shortly after, a need for a total shoulder replacement. Then surgery again to remove some unnecessary flesh behind the right knee. When the time was right and my body healed well enough to seek a prosthetic leg, many attempts were made over a period of a year and a half without total success. Satan was working hard on me during this time to plague me with discouragement and doubt. These things are not from God, but from Satan, the tempter, who wants us in stressful times to let discouragement and doubts into our minds and so give up on God. But God has given us many words of encouragement. We read in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but will provide a way of escape so you will be able to stand up against it." And Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Oh, what a loving God we serve. Let us not allow Satan and his temptations to sway us off our way home to heaven. Let us follow our Savior Jesus and fix our eyes always on him.